Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com and Associates and Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas, and by Lafayette Comedy, bringing national comedy shows to Acadiana.
From Tula Tacos and Amigos in downtown Lafayette, we're out to lunch with Christian Mader, publisher and editor of The Current. It's business, Acadiana style.
Welcome to Out to Lunch. I'm Christian Mader. E-commerce is about speed, but not just for the customer, for the seller, too. The name of the game is striking while the iron is hot. You get your product to the top of the search ranking on Google, and you can move units pretty fast. Once a cat meme goes pandemic, it pays to be the seller who can deliver the hype on a mug or a t-shirt. The hard part is the logistics. Inventory takes investment and risk. So what are you going to do with all those cat mugs when the trend dies? My guest Josh Gorey's company Completeful makes that problem go away. Instead of stocking all the inventory in your house and waiting for the internet to do its thing, Completeful stocks and fulfills your orders on demand. And based here in Lafayette, Completeful has grown real fast since Josh launched it in his garage engraving custom wedding gifts in 2017. Today, Completeful ships tens of thousands of custom products each day for sellers on Etsy and Shopify, enabling scores of micro shops around the internet with an integrated app. Josh Gorey, welcome to Out to Lunch.
Thank you for having me here.
If the QuickBook is your thing, then maybe graduate school isn't for you. Going deeper into higher education is a way to bury yourself deep into a professional or academic pursuit. Believe it or not, it's still a marketplace. Working your way through academia means finding a niche and selling yourself and your expertise to your future peers and mentors. It can be highly, highly competitive, very, very specialized, and the graduate schools are often competing for you too. In 2019, U.S. graduate schools conferred 1 million degrees, an increase of 20% from a decade earlier. And despite a decline in post-secondary enrollment overall, graduate professional programs have actually increased enrollment over the last 10 years by 8%, according to the U.S. Census. So UL's graduate school is a top producer of research, and they're asking questions like, how well do radishes grow in space? How does folklore impact the way our kids think and see the world? Well, they're working on those answers. And as the dean of UL's graduate school, my guest, Dr. Mary Farmer Kaiser, has a front row seat to that work. Mary has helmed the graduate school since 2015 and has taught history at UL since 2000. A native of Kansas, she charted a successful career for herself by seizing the opportunities in front of her, which I think is probably pretty good advice for anybody entering the workforce. Dr. Mary Farmer Kaiser, welcome to Out to Lunch.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
So, Josh, I actually feel like I've got a pretty good idea of what you do. But what I'm trying to figure out is what the sellers do. So you stock the products, you engrave the products, you ship the products. So what does an Etsy seller actually need to do? Like, what are they making?
So some of the stuff, not we carry a lot of blanks, right?
Yeah.
So we may have a lot of blank t-shirts. So shipping out the products you said, like the cat mug or the cat shirt. But we also make a lot of products on demand as well. So wooden decor, and they can design it however they want. The sellers honestly just do the marketing and handle customer service.
That's bizarre, like, in a way, because, like, if you were to maybe even go back like 10 years in terms of how people thought about selling things, you were still thinking of, like, I got to make something, I'm going to process it, I'm going to design it. And instead, we're at a stage where somebody's, like, literally capitalizing on an idea, not actually making anything, right? That's what's happening with...
Correct. Yep. And it's strange because it's hard to... When someone asks me, what do you do? It's like, we sell stuff. That's kind of, I don't know what it's like either a really short we make stuff and sell stuff, or I have to go into this like 15-minute explanation of how it works.
Yeah, and so I mean, one thing that occurred to me is like, look, I mean, if you wanted to buy, right, if you had an event and you wanted your brand logo on a cup, like, people have done that for a long time. So how is this really different than, like, the more conventional customization industry? Like, what do you guys do that's sort of differently, that's sort of enabled by the e-commerce thing?
So it's having, being able to, you have a company that, let's say, sells those types of products, right? They sell the logos and they sell the, but they can't come up with every single cat meme. They can't come up with every single, they can't, you can't, there's a million different designs that you can sell.
Yeah.
And so one company can't capture them all unless that one company has a million sellers that are going out. Each one of those sellers are coming up with ideas. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You can't go out and employ all these people, right? But if they're just contractors and they're just, you know, basically freelancing everything that they have, that's we're able to capture, you know, a huge audience by doing so.
That's fascinating. So Mary, this is kind of blew my mind. I looked this up and I was like, so the number of people going to college is shrinking, but the number of people going to graduate school is growing. And I feel like that kind of broke my brain. So what does that really actually tell us about what's happening in higher ed right now? Like, what does that actually mean?
So I think that what's happening is there's this bigger shift going on nationally, and I would actually say globally, that people in the marketplace are wanting to retool, tool up, and either enter new jobs or with the economy. It could be I need to be more competitive for a promotion, or I need to be more competitive for the job. In some disciplines, things get grad school enrollment goes down when the economy goes down. In other disciplines, it goes up. So more, if the jobs aren't there, it's time to go back to grad school. When the jobs are there, it's time to go back to grad school to improve your competitiveness and your skill set with whatever job you're doing.
So are these people that are going to get professional degrees primarily, or is it people are going to, like you said, that some do well in the economy? Is it like people going to get that MFA, or is it people that are like, no, I really want to get an MBA so I can really figure out how to capitalize on e-commerce and cat memes? We're going to say cat memes a lot on this episode, I'm pretty sure.
So, you know, the coolest thing about being dean of the grad school is you're seeing all of this from a very high level. And what you're seeing is, yeah, some of them are going back to get, we're not going to say an MFA because we don't have an MFA in the grad school, but we do have creative writing in our master's and our PhD program in English and so forth. And so there's people that are doing that. But we also have a really high demand for MBAs right now. And we have a high demand, obviously, for nurses, advanced practice nurses, so MSN degrees and DNP degrees. And then there's teachers. So you have this deep research that's happening in grad school, and then you also have a professionalization, applied research side of grad school. And both of those are happening at the same time.
Josh, so, we put you on the spot. Do you have an undergraduate degree?
I do not.
You do not have an undergraduate degree?
No. I went to Louisiana Tech for biomedical engineering, but I quit my senior year.
Your senior year?
Yeah. I had three classes left.
Yeah. You know, I want to tell you what, one, you should go back and get that degree. You don't need to go back. But part of my path, I mean, all the way back to undergrad, I got into my last year of undergrad, and I was going to law school. I mean, that was my plan and my trajectory from the very beginning. And then somebody said, well, what about? And a door opened.
That's almost exactly how it worked for me.
I mean, so I've never been afraid to walk through and to try out this new thing. And for me, it was grad school. For you, it was...
Starting a business.
Starting a business. Yeah. And that's how I ended up as dean of the grad school. I mean, there came a moment where they said, what about this? Yeah. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, let's try this.
Josh, what was the job that took you away from college?
It wasn't necessarily a job. It was more of a mindset. I wanted to start my own business. My goal was to be an engineer for a few years and buy Raising Cane's. That was my plan. I grew up in a really small town, so it was just like, hey, these Raising Cane's are doing well. Yeah. I need one of those.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to be an engineer, save up money, and open up a Raising Cane's. And the thought was is I needed the money to start this business, right? And so I got this sales job whenever I was in college, and I made decent money. That it kind of taught me a different thought process in business. It's like you don't need money to start. You can get started with nothing. And anyway, I used the money that I made from that sales job and opened up a Jimmy John's. It was my first little kind of brick and mortar type business, but complete full. I started with $150.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It started with $100, and I did not invest any more money into it. I took that $150 and just let it reinvest itself. Because I wanted to prove, I didn't think it was going to be as big as it is now, but I wanted to prove that it could be done with very little money.
Yeah. I mean, so how did you land on that? I mean, one thing I noticed in reading some of the research here was that you, like, it seemed like you kind of shopped for a business idea, right? I mean, like, when you kind of landed on the idea of wedding engraving.
Yeah,
well, like,
I tried everything. I sold bikinis. I sold leather jackets. I sold, if it could be sold online, I was pretty much trying to sell it.
What led you from product to product, though? Like, how did you go from bikinis to leather jackets? It was very different functions.
It was learning how to market. So leather jackets was just like, hey, I found a supplier that had these leather jackets, and I know people that need to buy biker leather jackets, right? And so I'm just kind of connecting them and taking my cut. The bikinis was a thing where I saw girls buying these $50 bottoms at Victoria's Secret when I can buy them in China for $3. So I was like, the same exact thing. Yeah. And I was like, and I realized that bikinis weren't like a Louis Vuitton bag where you see it and you know what it is. Yeah. No, it's just a bikini. There's no brands names on bikinis. You know, they're too small to have any sort of logo on them anyway.
Yeah.
And so it's like, all right, well, I'm just going to buy a bunch of these bikinis and I'm going to flip them.
Sure.
Yeah.
So Mary, sometimes you hear a story like Josh's, right? And the idea people like kind of want that immediate thing that they can try out. It feels like a lot of people these days like to not be tied down. How does that work in graduate school?
The master's program is really short. They can be completed in as much as a year or as little as a year. Most of them are designed to be completed in 2 years. You can do it while you're a working professional. Lots of our graduate programs, even some of our master's programs, are designed for working professionals. But one of the things that just struck me is the grad school in a lot of ways are about making connections. So somebody is interested in doing this. Mm-hmm. Let us help you connect with the people who can help you figure out how to do that or develop the idea more fully.
I have a question. Do you feel like there's this increase in grad school because I look at it from like our perspective. We're trying to automate just about everything. So everything's getting really autonomous, getting robotic. So the people that have these jobs that the robotics are taking over, they have to get more specialized in what they do so that they can actually, you know, work with these robotics.
Everything is becoming more specialized. And it's also about ultimately optimizing everything that we do, because you don't want to lose money and you want to be competitive against whatever competitors you have. And so it's about knowing the discipline, knowing the field in a really deep way. Undergrad doesn't teach you that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're getting a really broad gen ed degree, but at the graduate level you're going really deep to understand a field of study, and you're going to be prepared to optimize whatever it is that you're doing, even if it's cat memes.
How quickly is... thank you for bringing that back full circle. Yeah, how quickly are academics responding to this kind of stuff? I mean, I think historically, right, it seems like a kind of a bureaucratic world, but, you know, obviously, like, there are ways that, like you mentioned, professional degrees, like, being able to, like, kind of adapt to what people need. But, I mean, I guess I'm curious how higher ed is actually responding to this moment where you have people like Josh, people like you, who might, maybe not complete full, but might benefit from some sort of specialization or might benefit from this opportunity to really work. Like, how do y'all actually do that?
So, I'll be the first to say not well. I mean, we're not, we're a bureaucracy and we're not particularly nimble, but what has happened over the last several years is we have to be nimble. We have to respond more quickly. And so you have different things happening in graduate education. I mean, the push to offer more part-time degrees, the ability to offer more online is certainly a response to changing demands. But
I mean, what's the share? How many e-commerce degrees? How many of your degrees can I buy online? How many master's programs, PhD programs you guys offer that are actually just online? You know?
So, it's a broad spectrum. One of our DMP program, our nursing doctoral program, 100% online. There are other programs that are more hybrid in nature or delivered in executive an executive mile, like our educational doctorate degree, but our most significant in terms of numbers, I mean, that's our MBA degree.
Wow.
MBA degree program has grown incredibly over the last couple of years.
You're listening to Out to Lunch. I'm Christian Mader. I'm talking with Mary Farmer Kaiser, Dean of the UL Graduate School, and Josh Gorey of Completeful. Josh, is, I mean, I would look, your company's growing fast. You guys have been doing a lot of hiring. I would presume these are questions you're starting to have to ask yourself. It's like, what kind of credentials do you need for people to work? I mean, are you finding that a master's degree is something that's important to work at Completeful?
Honestly, it's all, I mean, we're hiring all different types of levels, but one of the things that I wanted to hit on there was one of our engineers, or all of our engineers, really. They are, yes, their job is to be an engineer, but when they go home, their hobby, you know what it is? Also being an engineer. They're building things. They're bringing stuff to work that they built at home as a hobby and saying, hey, can we use this in here? And I'm like, when do you find the time to build a drone in your garage? You know, I don't understand it because, I mean, they're working a lot, but, yeah. You know, it's getting some of the guys that went in undergraduate school work, like I said, they not only were you an engineer, you know, trying to be an engineer in college, they went home and they were building and tinkering things and getting very specialized on their own.
That's a grad student.
Yeah.
You know, that's a grad student. Because in my mind, it's the person that's really interested in being an engineer all the time, and they didn't like having to do the gen ed requirements. They just wanted to take engineering classes.
Hmm.
That's what a grad student is. They're so passionate about whatever it is that they're interested in, they want to know everything about it, and they want to start to change the trajectory of the discipline.
Hmm. You know, I studied philosophy, and one of the stories I told myself was that, you know, well, I guess I heard this was 2006, right? That you know, well, you know, if I wanted to do this, that, you know, they're really looking at those liberal arts majors now, even in things that aren't inapplicable, right? Like, who really wants to hear me talk about, you know, Kant or whatever? But, you know, like, Josh, I mean, is that still kind of true as an employer? Like, do you look at a resume for an engineer and try to see some sort of multidisciplinary track to be able to say, like, this guy or gal might be a problem solver in an interesting way? I mean, I guess I'm curious, like, to what role does that actually play for you now that you have to hire these people?
So this is really, really funny. We actually have a couple of games that we play, card games. And we ask, and usually we can find a game that they have not learned yet. They have never played, right? And so we'll teach them the basic rules. Here's what you do. And the hiring, all the engineers that are hiring, myself included, we're basically experts on the games that we're playing, right? And so we'll see how well they respond to playing those games.
Hmm.
And that's how we go about. And it's being creative and being quick and being able to make really good decisions fast in some of these card games that we play. And we're able to. That's you can look at a resume all day long and it's on paper and you cannot figure out how well this person can solve problems. I've seen people come in with all kinds of crazy credentials, but you put them under pressure, and they...
It's also about being open to not knowing the answer and ultimately being able to dive in and try to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's something that you have to do.
I love that because when one of the things that got me out of being a biomedical engineer, and I loved it. I loved what I did, but I took a couple of internships, and it was like, hey, we want you to be an engineer. We want you to be an engineer inside this box. And it was just like, that's not what an engineer is. An engineer is a creative problem solver. I don't need to be inside. If I found a solution outside of this box, can we build a box around it? You know, like, that's how
I... not a box?
Yeah, or no box. You know, that's what I try. That I want to find people, you know, that think that same way. When we bring engineers in and they're all, some of them are just like, you know, by the book. And it's like, no. You can solve this in any way possible. Get creative. And that's why we bring up the card games, because you figure out how creative a person can get, because they'll start asking questions. Can I do this? Well, what if I take these two cards and do this? And you're like, okay. You know, they're a creative problem solver.
So, you know, can I
please,
back
yeah.
to your point though about having an interdisciplinary kind of team?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the things that is really cool is when you put an engineer together with a philosophy major, with a writer, with a, I mean, you put these different people together and they go at a problem in this different way that you can't possibly, I mean, it's cool to see that develop and that new knowledge be created in that moment. That's
because
awesome.
Sometimes the problem isn't the problem, it's how you're thinking about the problem.
Absolutely.
And if you get a lot of different, you know, perspectives on that problem, there's like, oh, well, I know a solution from that angle. And
what if we went at it from this way?
That is exactly right.
So it's interesting because it's almost like, you know, there's a value in being a generalist now, right? And yet, you know, people are getting attracted to graduate school and becoming more specialized. I mean, is there a misalignment there on how we're approaching it?
Actually, I think there's the value in understanding the generalist, the base. Mm-hmm. But when you get down to what you need to do, you've got to have that specialized knowledge to optimize whatever your business is. And at a certain point, you got to surround and fill your team with people that have the skill set and the knowledge base that you don't have.
That's what everybody's heard of the phrase, you know, a jack of all trades but a master of none. And what I tell people is, no, you need to be a jack of all trades and a master of one. And that's how you get somebody that's super specialized in something but has a broad understanding of everything else.
A willingness to appreciate and value the other stuff.
Absolutely.
Josh, what do you think you've mastered? If you're the master of one, what's your one?
probably problem solving and putting the right people in the right places. At first I thought I just got really lucky being able to do that. It just seemed like it just fell into place every single time. It was just like, well, wow, I put the right person in the right place. And honestly, it still feels like I'm getting lucky at doing it. But I'm able to do it over and over again. And so I guess I have some natural ability to put the right person in the right place. And there's not to say I don't make mistakes. I do. I put the wrong person in the.
But you figure that out really fast.
Exactly. I figure that part out quickly. Yeah.
Mary, are you a master of one? What's your one?
You know, I used to say, you know, obviously I'm a historian. I want to say that I'm a master at history, but
you literally have a master's degree in history.
I have a PhD in history. But the last 6 years has really taught me that in a lot of ways it is about putting people together and bringing teams together who are excited about whatever it is they're doing, whether it's a PhD student and their mentor, or but creating opportunities for people. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm about.
Yeah, so I gotta think that from your perch, right? That you kind of have a, like, when I was thinking about this in writing about, you know, the kind of research that maybe comes out of you. Well, there's got to be a lot of stuff about what you get to see that just sort of surprises
blows
you.
Blows your mind.
That you're like, wait, there's a degree for that? I mean, what's or maybe there's an application for that? I mean, I don't know. Give us a hint of how wild this stuff actually gets. And we heard about radishes in space. That's fascinating. It's fascinating all by itself. But what's the other radish in space situation?
You know, I mean, I didn't know a lot about engineers grad school. you think from A to B in a really direct way. And as a historian, I like to meander. from point A to point B, and so it's been really great to work with engineers. Mm-hmm. But you know, we've got stuff going on with roundabouts.
Like you mean the traffic calming device?
Yeah, the traffic. Right. I mean, civil engineering is making improvements every day. I mean, Lafayette could use some better traffic.
So are they doing research on like how to make a better circle? Is that what you're describing?
You know. where it's appropriate to put and the traffic problems that it can solve. Mm-hmm. Morphology, mm-hmm. I mean, the study of how fish, electric fish, have ultimately changed over time. I mean, it helps us understand different things about how bones, the radishes, how to grow radishes in space, but it's also about understanding our culture, the Francophone language, the reach of the Francophone language. I mean, what I walk out knowing every day is that I don't know everything, and there is so much new knowledge that's being produced and created, whether it's a patent or a new book that's being written, novel and poems. And
it's amazing that you don't run out of things to study, things to do, things to try, and that, you know, people, the business is just full of stories of people who tried one thing and ended up in another place, or some skill set that they grew up with turned out to be an applicable thing. You know, they start an interesting e-commerce business, or they end up being the dean at a graduate school. I mean, I guess that's the way these things work, and it's really great to hear two stories like that, people finding winding paths, end up where they belong. So Mary and Josh, it was great having you both on Out to Lunch Acadiana. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
My guests on Out to Lunch Acadiana today have been Dr. Mary Farmer Kaiser, Dean of the UL Graduate School, and Josh Gorey of Completeful. We edited this show to fit in the time slot here on KRBS, and you can hear our unedited conversation and find out more about Josh and Mary and what they do by listening to the Out to Lunch Acadiana podcast, which you can find anywhere you get podcasts and on our website, itsacadiana.com. If you want to know what we look like, you can find photos from this show on itsacadiana.com and on our social media. These photos were taken by Kieran McIntosh, who's also our sound engineer, and he recorded the show today. Out to Lunch Acadiana is a production of INO Broadcasting for itsacadiana.com and KRVS 88.7 FM. The producer of our show is Grant Morris. Our technical producer is Eric Merle. Our associate producers are Molly Richard and Jan Risher. Our researcher is Claire Como. And I'm Christian Mader, editor of The Current, Lafayette's nonprofit source for local news. For more local news and commentary, head over to thecurrentla.com and sign up for our newsletter. Till then, I'll see you here again next time for more business and conversation on Out to Lunch Acadiana. Bye-bye.
Out to Lunch Acadiana is recorded live over lunch at Tula Tacos and Amigos. Tula Tacos and Amigos offers street-style tacos, margaritas, and an open-air courtyard on Jefferson Street in the heart of downtown Lafayette. Major support for Out to Lunch is provided by the law firm of Jones Walker, established in 1937 with over 375 attorneys in offices throughout the U.S., providing a comprehensive range of services to a local, national, and international client base. JonesWalker.com. And by Shorten Associates, legal recruiters in Louisiana and Texas. And by Lafayette Comedy, bringing national comedy shows to Acadiana. Mitchell Foreman wrote and performs all the music on Out to Lunch. You can hear Mitchell's music anywhere great jazz is sold or streamed, and at MitchellForeman.com.
Dimanche après-midi, vous pouvez écouter le programme Le Bal du Dimanche après-midi avec la musique Cajun créole et française sur le programme Le Bal du Dimanche après-midi avec moi, Nocturne, Guidry, direct ici sur KRBS 88.7 FM, Lafayette La Charge, ici le World Wide Web à KRBS.org.
Support comes from Bernard F. Duyon, a professional law corporation focusing on personal injury, wills and estates, and business matters. The office is located at 111 Concord Street in downtown Abbeville. The phone number is 337-893-5066. 337-893-5066. Ici, on parle français.
On the next Chicago Symphony Orchestra broadcast, we'll spotlight four legendary soloists who have appeared with the CSO. Tune in for a 1970 recording featuring the late Jacqueline Dupre in Dvorak's cello concerto. Plus, violinist Yasha Heifetz, mezzo-soprano Yvonne Minton, and pianist Byron Janis. Next time with the CSO.
Monday nights at 9 on KRVS. Join KRVS on October 6th at 7:30 p.m. for Cypress Lake Studios Live, a monthly streaming concert series presented by the Dr. Tommy Como Endowed Chair in Traditional Music at the University of Louisiana Lafayette. Each concert is recorded live at KRVS's Cypress Lake Studios and streamed to the world. This concert will feature Blake Miller and the Old Fashioned Aces, the Marty Christian Blues Trio, and Jeffrey Broussard and the Creole Cowboys. Register for free on our website, krvs.org.